When I had my first conversation with God, I knew what my first question was going to be. And it turns out to be the question that almost everyone who meets me asks me as well. It's the question that's on the lips of virtually every human being, at least at one point in their life. What is the purpose of life itself? What is the true purpose of life? What are we doing here? What are we up to? Now, my misunderstanding when I was first approaching this question is that I thought we each had an individual purpose. I thought I had a purpose that was unique to me, you had a purpose that was unique to you, that the other person had a purpose that was unique to her and unique to him, and that each of us were assigned a particular purpose in life. But it turns out that God is not really a career counselor. God is not a job counselor who says, you know, you're going to play the violin for the Philharmonic Orchestra, and you're going to be a chemist, and you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, and you're going to be an athlete. You see, God doesn't assign purposes in that way. So our purpose in life, it turns out, has nothing to do with what we're doing and everything to do with what we're being. And what Conversations with God told me was surprising. In Conversations with God, I was told that everyone has the same purpose, that it is identical from one soul to the next. Not only does everyone on the earth, all the billions of people on the earth have the same purpose, but all of the trillions and kajillions and septillions of sentient beings in the universe, in the cosmos, also share the exact same purpose. That life itself, in all of its forms, exists for the same purpose. There is only one purpose. Now, it makes sense when you think about it, because there is only one thing. You will recall that Conversations with God has made it very clear to us. All things are one thing. There is only one thing, and all things are part of the one thing there is. Logically, then, it would make sense that if there's only one thing, there's only one purpose. And that one purpose is being expressed in individual ways by each individual sentient being in the universe. So I often use as an example eating. Just to use an example, eating has the same purpose for everyone. Everybody on the planet has the same purpose for eating, is to supply our body with nutrition in order to continue living in physicality. So the purpose of eating is identical for every single human being on the earth. But it's expressed individually. One person eats one way, one person eats another way. A third person eats a particular thing, a fourth person does not eat that thing, does not even like it, but eats something else entirely differently. So the point being, the way we express the purpose of nutrition is individual for every sentient being. This is exactly, it's a wonderful example, because this is exactly how it is with the purpose of the soul. There is only one purpose for every human being and for every sentient being in the cosmos. But each of us expresses it in a way that's highly individualistic. So God said to me, the purpose of life is very simple. You can memorize it, and I have memorized it. I was told that the purpose of life is to recreate yourself anew in every golden moment of now, in the next grandest version of the greatest vision ever we held about who we are. I'm going to say that again to make sure you don't miss it. I said, I was told that the purpose of life is to recreate yourself brand new in every golden moment of now, in the next grandest version of the greatest vision ever we held about who we are. Now, if that's the purpose of life, and I'm pretty sure that it is, because I was told by a source of very high authority, that's the purpose of life, then it would be important for us to know who we are, because you can't recreate yourself in the next grandest version of who you are if you don't know who you are. And who you are is not something that you discover. It's something that you create. That was another great truth from Conversations with God that I was told. Life is not a process of discovery. It's a process of creation. So who you are is who you say you are. And who you say you are has nothing to do, I want to repeat, with what you're doing. Who you say you are has to do with what you're being. That's why we're called, ultimately, human beings. We're not called human doings. We're called human beings. Because it is what we are being that announces and declares, expresses and fulfills, becomes who we really are. Are we being compassionate? Are we being caring? Are we being loving? Are we being gentle? Are we being kind? Are we being wise? Are we being insightful? Are we being conscious? Are we being aware? Are we ultimately being divine? Are we being the highest expression of God that we are capable of being? That's the question. Shakespeare put it perfectly in his writing. To be or not to be? That is the question. And it is the question. Who do you wish to be? What aspect of divinity do you wish to be? So, we begin with an understanding of who we are inherently, that is, basically, that is, at the foundation of all of it. So, really, it's not a question of who we are going to be so much as it is a question of how we are going to be that. You see what I'm saying? Right now, for instance, I'm being a human being. But how am I going to be a human being? Am I going to be a patient, compassionate, caring, kind, loving human being, as I mentioned before? Or am I going to be a nasty, impatient, unkind, cruel human being? Either way, I'll still be a human being, but what version, what kind of human being? So we've all come here with the single purpose of allowing ourselves the opportunity to express and experience our divinity. That is, to express and experience our true, fundamental, and only identity, our true nature. That's our unified purpose. It is the purpose of all of life. It is the purpose of flowers that grow in a garden, beautiful birds that fly in the air, astonishingly spectacular fish that swim in the sea, and every other expression of life in the cosmos, the beauty and the wonder of a galaxy, the extraordinary, breathtaking sight of the night sky. How many of us have had the experience of simply lying on the grass, lying on some green lawn somewhere in a park, or maybe even in your backyard if you're lucky enough to have some grass in your backyard, or maybe on your back porch? How many of you have had the opportunity to just look at the night sky? All of us have done it at least once. Most of us have done it more than once. In the quiet of the evening, when there's nothing else going on, and we have a few moments to spend with all of eternity, we simply stop and we look at the night sky. And we are caught in the wonder and in the glory of what we're looking at. And what we're a part of, and we say to ourselves, oh my God, I'm a part of this. And this is a part of me. And this is really who I am. Now, can I be in my own individual expression as magnificent as what I'm looking at up there? You know, of course, that if you look at your own body under a microscope, it looks exactly like the night sky. Do you know that? See, if you look at your own body under a microscope, you will see what looks like a cosmos, a universe, a galaxy. It looks exactly the same way, and it's not an accident. It's not an accident that the microcosm duplicates the macrocosm, which is duplicated in the microcosm. It's all the same thing. It just depends on how far back you're standing. It's just how far back you're standing when you look at it. It's all the same thing. So, once we understand that, we begin to understand the true purpose of life. And then it's just a question of how we're going to express that purpose in our reality. The purpose of life turns out to be the purpose of God, which is to express and experience itself in all of its wonder and glory. Now there's an important question we get to ask that helps us to contextualize this experience, that helps us to bring it all together in a way that makes sense to our soul. I'm going to share that question with you in just a minute, but first I want to be clear that we all understand. I want to make sure we all are understanding what I'm saying here. Your life has nothing to do with what you're doing, but what you're doing has everything to do with what your life is about. Isn't that an interesting kind of a twist? Your life is not about what you're doing, but what you're doing is an expression of what your life is about. When I was a young person, I was really misunderstanding everything. And I kind of was taught a whole string of ideas. And I was observing life as well. And I thought, oh, life is very simple. I can see what life is about. Life is about get the guy, get the girl, get the car, get the job, get the spouse, get the kids, get the better car, get the better job, get the house, buy the house, get the better spouse, get the better spouse, get the better spouse, get the better car, get the better job, and try to get all the stuff. And then finally, after it's all over, maybe get my name on the door, get my name on the business, get the office with the windows in the corner on the top floor of the building, you know, and get all the stuff that there is to get in life. And then finally get the gray hair, get the retirement watch, get the cruise tickets, get the sickness, and get out. And that's what I thought life was about. That's what I observed all around me. But it didn't have any point. I thought, is that it? I mean, is that really the purpose of life? Just to get these things? Get the guy, get the girl, get the car, get the job, get the house, get the better car, get the kids, get the grandkids, get the... What? What? Is that it? Because if that's it, somebody send in the clowns. Because I must be in a circus. I must be in a circus. Surely there's some purpose to all of this. Surely it's not the one with the most toys at the end wins. Surely there's something larger going on here. And Conversations with God has made it very clear to me that indeed there is. What is larger that's going on here is an eternal process called the evolution of the human soul. The process of you being, and of you being more and more of what you already are by experiencing and expressing more and more of your true identity. So, our purpose and our invitation in life is identical. To demonstrate divinity in, as, and through us. Now, here's life's great secret. There's no one way to do that. I mentioned this a while ago, and I want to repeat it to make sure you get this as well. There is no one way to do that. And there's no right way to do it. And as a result, there's also no wrong way to do it. However, you're doing it is simply the way you're doing it, and no one is going to judge you. And no one is going to make you wrong for the way you're doing it. And you know what? In a sense, you can't make a mistake. You can't even make a mistake doing it, because in the largest sense, even a mistake is perfect because it's the next step in your evolutionary process. Like a child who's learning her multiplication tables. You know, 2 times 2, 3 times 4, 5 times 6, 8 times 9. When you learn your multiplication tables, you sometimes make what you call mistakes, but in truth, mistakes are simply stepping stones that help you get to where you want to get, that help you go to where you want to go. So in the highest sense, there aren't even any mistakes in life. There are simply steps that are taking you to where you want to go, and where you want to go is to the next highest, and the next highest, and the next highest, the next grandest, and the next grandest, and the next grandest expression of who you really are, the next greatest experience of your true identity, until you become filled and fulfilled with the experience of divinity itself. And I've often been asked, and I asked God myself, what happens when we are really finished with that process? Then what happens? What's the point of life when we finally get to a place where, let's say, we are like the Buddha or the Christed One or Muhammad or any one of the great masters, male and female, who have walked this planet and who have existed in the universe? What happens when we're done with the process? Is the game over? Is that all there is? Is that finally the end of it? And God said, oh, no, no. Oh, my gosh, no. Because when you get to the place that you think is all there is, you discover then that there is even more, and even more of that, and even more of that. And that what I am, God says to us, what I am is infinite. Infinitely large, infinitely magnificent, infinitely glorious, infinitely wonderful. And it has no end. There is no end to what I am. Because what I am is not a straight line. See, when you have a straight line, it starts over here, it goes from here, and it ends over here. But God said, see, the problem with human beings is you think that life is a straight line formula. It starts over here, it goes over here, and it ends over here. But God says, take that end of the line and take this end of the line and go like this. And you will see that it's a circle. There is no beginning, and there is no end. It's the same line, but it's not like this. It's like this. And it's the same line, with no beginning and no end. God said, if you can understand that, if you can just grasp that, if you can visualize it, you begin to understand the nature of infinity. But I can tell you another way to understand it. You don't even have to understand it geometrically by using an illustration. You can understand it emotionally. You want to understand what infinity feels like emotionally? I said, yes, I would like to. Please tell me. How can I understand that? God said, it's really very simple. Watch this. Do you love anybody? I said, yeah, of course I love a lot of people. Do you love one person really a lot? I said, yes, of course I love one person really, really a lot. Is there any end to the love you have for this person? I said, well, I don't know. I never thought about it that way. God said, well, think about it. Is it fair to say you love that person even more now than you did maybe a few years ago? Has your love for that person grown more and more and more? I said, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yes, I think it's fair to say that I love that person more now than I did before, and I love that person more every day. I really do. And I even tell her, I even say, I love you more and more every day. God said, good, you're starting to get it. You're starting to get it. Now God said to me, do you think that there's ever any end to how much you can love that person? Is there a point where you say, well, that's all there is. I don't have any more love. That's the end of it. That's all there is. I said, well, no, of course not. God said, you're right. You're right. The wonder of love is that the more you love, the more you can love. The more you express love, the more love you access and find it possible to express, because love expands with your discovery of it. Love expands with your experience of it. Love expands with your expression of it. I said, wow. You know, I get that. The amount of love expands with my expression of it. And God said, it's the same thing with me. The amount of divinity expands with your expression of it. So guess what? The game never ends. That's how much I love you. Now, do you understand the purpose of life? Then go. Go. Go outside and play. Have a wonderful time experiencing and expressing who you really are. And do it from lifetime to lifetime in the way that feels most natural, most exciting, most joyful, most wonderful, that is, most filled with wonderful experiences, most wonder-filled. Go. Go. Go outside and play like little children in the garden of the gods and experience yourself in glorious and extraordinary ways. And if you don't like the way you experienced yourself in the last moment or in the last lifetime for that matter. Recreate yourself anew in each golden moment of now, in the next grandest version of the greatest experience you've ever had, the next grandest version of the greatest idea you have ever held about who you really are. So I want to conclude this lesson with this invitation. Decide who you are. That is, what aspect of divinity, or aspects, it can be more than one, it can be plural. Decide what aspect or aspects of divinity you wish to express in, as, and through you in this particular lifetime, and in this particular moment of this particular lifetime. You can combine all the moments and suddenly have an entire life, which add up to an expression of, the greatest expression you could create in this lifetime, of who you really are. So here's a question that I invite you to ask yourself as you're ready to embark on any new choice, decision, opportunity, any new experience, event, or circumstance. Ask yourself the following question. What aspect of divinity is the present situation, circumstance, or event inviting me to demonstrate now? Did you get that? I'll say it again. What aspect of divinity is the present situation, circumstance, or event inviting me to demonstrate now? Right now, I, Neil, am demonstrating wisdom and clarity, understanding, and love. Because I love you for choosing to be here, for choosing to listen to all of this, for choosing to be who you really are. What a glorious thing that you're adding to the earth. What a wonderful person you are to simply have made that decision. Good for you. And good for us. So go now and bless the world.